Is Warren Gatland right to keep faith with the same 23 for the final Lions test? Is New Zealand's inexperienced backline there for the taking? And Rog tells us what Sean O'Brien should have said to Sky Sports. It's all coming up on The Hard Yards.
The Hard Yards, brought to you by Ladbrokes. Passionate about sport.
And Ringrose comes through. Oh. And he's brilliant from Ringrose. Ringrose is going here. What a score.
I know a website you use most often, but it's a sister of YouTube.
Hi Rob, Zeebs here. Just want to discuss the captaincy next year.
He's calling.
I don't think we've met before, but I'm the referee on this field, not you.
I'd say YouTube is probably YouTube.
You're listening to the Hard Yards Rugby Podcast on Sports Joe. Thank you so much for joining us this week. I have Ronan O'Gara, Isaac Boss and Pat McCarry in studio with me. I am Andy McGeady. Stephen Ferris is on the phone, and later we'll chat to Ladbrokes' Hayley O'Connor about the best odds for the third Lions test. Straight up, we were waiting for the Lions to name their team. They've done so. It's unchanged. Unchanged 23. This might be seen as an interesting move. I'm not sure if it's given it that much to talk about. What do you think?
Yeah, I was saying we did a story on it there for Sports Joe and called it ballsy. And then a lot of people were like, it's stupid as well. A lot of people expected Vunipola to get dropped out of that team and maybe onto the bench. But it's just kind of a show of confidence, a show of strength, a real kind of Gatland move as well, like to kind of say, this is the lads I'm going to go with.
And we'll come back round to that, I suppose, in a few minutes. But first, Mr. Ferris, you're on the line. You're back from New Zealand. You're playing some golf.
Yes, made it home Monday night, so teed it up at the Irish Open Pro-Am. Sorry, the Dubai Duty Free Irish Pro-Am in Port Stewart.
Company man.
I'm Port Stewart, yeah. I'm an ambassador now, you know, so I need to keep it sweet. It was good crack, good fun. I was playing with a guy called Terrell Hatton, who's an English fella who was unbelievable. Dennis Taylor, snooker player, and Shane Fylan, Westlife. So, ex-Westlife.
That's the big
one. Good day's fun, bit of crack.
Yeah, how were those last few nights in Wellington? It must have been good after that second test win.
Yeah, of course it was good. I think all the fans and everybody were just on a different level. Like, obviously, just the win to beat the All Blacks in their own backyard was sensational. And, you know, just everybody was in such a high, especially with the week leading into it. You know, Gatland was more or less in the paper every day, looking like a clown and everything else, and he was getting such a hard time in the press. And I think it was just like a sigh of relief that the boys got the win. And, you know, if they hadn't got the win and New Zealand went on to beat them with 14 men for, 56 minutes or whatever it would have been, I think Gatland would have come under so much more pressure. But I think me, sitting on the other side of the fence, who actually realises how much of a difference an extra man makes for 56 minutes of a match, I kind of look at it and say, yeah, well done to the Lions. But, you know, you'd expect any international team to go out there and put in a good shift to beat the guys, even if it's in their own backyard, considering weather conditions and everything else. To be a man up for 56 minutes, you know, you'd expect to turn a team over. So for me, I kind of look at it and go, okay, brilliant, we got the win. You know, you obviously beat what's in front of you, but at the same time, I'm expecting a backlash this weekend. And if the Kiwis can keep 15 men on the pitch, I definitely think we'll try and get one over the Lions boys.
Rog, playing against any team for an hour odd with an extra man, how does that change your approach to it?
Well, it changes it depending on where the guy comes out of their team, so you have to constantly adapt. Obviously, for me, it was the key man losing Sonny Bin Williams, because I think they're a completely different team with him there. I think he is the rock that they kind of build everything on, not alone for his own individual brilliance, but also I think a lot of the so-called brothers, New Zealand brothers, really buy into him, and I think he gives them huge solidity mentally and physically. I think his skill levels are absurd, and I think his leadership levels are probably undervalued as well. But as Fez said there, it was interesting watching, because it's not a contradiction, but you didn't know for a long time that New Zealand were down a man. You have to remember it was 18-9 with maybe 13 minutes to go, so that speaks volumes for, I would think, for want of another word, the balls that the Lions players have, because they were 1-0 down, 18-9 away from home. They could have, and a lot of teams could have opted out, but they hung in there and they dug in there, and their last quarter was really impressive. And I think that's to be admired. But as Fez says, it's, if it didn't go their way, I think they would have been absolutely pillared. And you just have to be putting that away, because what has actually transpired now is that you have an awful lot of international rookies coming up against, you know, for example, the 9, 10, 12 and 13 of the Lions have 50 plus caps.
Yeah.
So there's a massive advantage in terms of experience. But on one side you have experience, and the other side you have the exuberance of youth and fearless, unbelievably good rugby players. But I suppose the two Achilles heel of Bowden Barrett, if there is such a thing to say about it, the guy, that potential weaknesses, they shone, I think. Maybe his capacity to control a tight, really tight test match could possibly be questioned, and his goal kicking under pressure, I think, which, for example, I don't think you'd see Dan Carter doing that, but at any stage of his career. So that's something that Bowden Barrett needs to nail to, I suppose, repeatedly win World Player of the Year, which I think his talent allows him to do.
So let's talk about that for a second. So Barrett, in the first game, was like, the first test, he was nailing his kicks, and everyone's sort of looking at, it's like when Happy Gilmore learned to putt. He's sort of going, oh no, we're in trouble, he's on. And from that first kick in the second test, you knew that it was Bowden Barrett who can be a little bit iffy. But is there something that you'd see technically in his kicking?
No, I don't really, because no? I wouldn't think so. I think, I don't know if Bossy would know maybe more about me, is Mick the kick, or Mick Byrne still working with I think he's left the All Blacks, but he'd have had him for years, and I think someone like Bowden Barrett would have all the tools accessible to him. I think he'd have a great mentor and coach in Jason Holland, I think, who has really found his feet as a coach over there, who has a fantastic personality, and I think is really suited to that kind of style of rugby. But also Dutchie would appreciate the value of controlling the game, and he said that that's something that Bowden Barrett, brilliant guy, brilliant player, that's something that he'll just get better with, because you have to remember the amount of games he's played at 10 wouldn't be that many. And to be fair, he's kind of got the role now where Bowden will fix everything, so anytime there's an injury in the All Black back line, he's got shifted around, because he's so adaptable to play any position, because he's such a freak. And I think where the problems came were, I don't think Cruden is anywhere near on fire as he was 24 months ago. And you look at the break for Liam Williams in the first test, it was a Cruden missed tackle. You look at what happened in the final quarter in test two in the Caketon, I think Cruden wasn't as decisive as you need to be as an international 10.
We've already mentioned that there's no changes for the Lions 23, but there are some key changes, Bossy, for the All Blacks. Jordy Barrett's coming in for first full cap at full back.
Yeah, and it's an interesting one. It's a big call, and I don't think it's a bad one, actually. And I think that's also dictated maybe on the wings, where he's brought Sevier in as well. So obviously Nolapi and that, they all work together well in the Hurricanes. Yeah. So I think it's a little bit more familiarity there in the back three, you know, whereas if he's working with someone like Ioane, then it's a little bit different for him, you know. So it is interesting, but I think he'll be good. And the next thing is, like we've talked about before, is will he take over the kicking then? Potentially he has been kicking for the Hurricanes and shown to be probably a more accurate kicker. So whether you burden a young 20-year-old in his first start in a Test Series decided with that, or does his brother go ahead and take it, you know? So
first start in a crucial Lions test,
yeah,
to take the kicking as well would be a lot on his shoulders.
It will be a lot on his shoulders as well, and I imagine, but Roger will tell you, you get your first shot, you pot it, then it calms your nerves and you know you should be there, and that's it, you know.
Yeah.
So it's the type of stuff he would have practiced for as a kid to be there, and it might also, I'd imagine Bowden would continue the kicking to start with, I'd imagine, for this first cap.
Yeah,
I never know. And with that, I also think, like we're talking about with the Barrett running the match and stuff like that, I also think that the fact that he went to fullback dictated what happened in the end of that match a little bit, and the fact that they brought off Smith as well, which is a key controller for them. Takes a lot of pressure off the tens by his kicking game and stuff, and I don't think Perenara showed that composure towards the end. So like we talked about earlier, you know, look at what's coming off the bench. I think the All Blacks are vulnerable off the bench, to be honest, with a couple of those key positions. And same even with the outside, Sonny Bill has gone. They were always probably a little bit vulnerable in the midfield, and he was definitely shored up. Nolapi did very well in his first test, but now he's got him there. Leonard Brown, I think, has been underrated for years, but he hasn't played very well in the last two matches. A bit weak in defence. And then so all of a sudden you've got a 12, 13 Sevilla back in. It's a key axis where I think the Lions can really pressure.
Just to bring Fez in there, the names, the players coming in for the All Blacks, when you were down there, were these the names that people wanted to see coming into the team?
I don't think so, no. I think Sevilla wasn't selected initially to play for the All Blacks because the rumour coming out of the camp was that they thought he was lazy and he wasn't working hard enough. So when he was playing for the Hurricanes, they seen weaknesses in his work bit. So that's why he was initially left out. And then Naholo obviously didn't play great and took that bang to the head. And Owani kind of just comes in and out of games. And, you know, when you're on the front foot, he seems very good. But when you're on the back foot, being peppered with unbelievable box kicks by Conor Murray, you know, he seems very vulnerable. So I think they're just kind of resorting back to a little bit of experience. But Lamapre, thought was brilliant, come forward, just crash ball, especially the weather's bad, he just get on to Sexton and to Farrell, and then, you know, they were just trying to tackle him high every single time, and he got them good go forward. He's, to be honest, for me, is a bit of a one-trick pony. You don't very rarely see him doing a Sonny Bill Williams, getting the ball away or getting an offload away. So I think the team that has been selected is very direct. You know, you've obviously got Dag in the wing, who is a bit more of a footballer, but for me, it's very, very direct, and they're going to take the Lions on physically again like they did in the first test and really get stuck into them. But for me, I totally agree with the lads and agree with Bossy that, you know, that centre partnership of John Davis, and Owen Farrell could maybe make things happen for them and try and get them on the outside a few times if they can make a couple of line breaks. But yeah, the press over there, obviously haven't been there this week, but you know, the last couple of weeks it's just all about being stuck into the Lions and you know, how poor Gatland is, how poor Rob Howley is and all these boys. And you know, I suppose they shut them up in a way, but that could all come crashing down again if they don't back it up with another performance this weekend. You know, if they go out and get beaten by 25-30 points, then it'll be, oh, you beat an All Blacks team of 14 men, well done, ha-ha, do you know what I mean? So they really need to go out and back it up again, but easier said than done.
How big a risk is Hanson taking here, Bossy?
To be honest, I don't think it's that big a risk, considering the other options available at the minute. They are, you know, I think it's probably a calculated one at that. Geordie Barrett's been, look, he's been the class act in the Super Rugby, and even last year, to be honest, playing against him in the ITM Cup, you try to put pressure on him, and he just soaks it up and turns it around on you. You know, he is a class act. He's a big lump of a man at a fullback.
He's tall, very stocky,
and he can handle himself physically, you know, as not like you think 20-year-old fullbacks could. And he's got an amazing skill set as well. So it's one of those ones. It'll be interesting to see how he goes. He could be a game changer for the All Blacks, because I definitely think on form he deserves to be there.
So if there was certainly a risk last week with Gatson's team when he changed up the what seemed to have been a success with Teo at 12, and he brought in the Sexton-Farrell combo. Some people were a bit unsure about whether that would work. It seemed to go well, certainly with the ball. Rog,
yeah,
what
did
you think?
It did, and I was the one that questioned that. I didn't think it was the right move. I think, judging on how Teo played, I thought he was exceptional in the first test, and I thought that was an area that he wouldn't alter. I thought he'd keep it maybe for later on in the second test, but he went for it and it worked. It most definitely worked. You look at the crucial Conor Murray try, it's Johnny and it's Farrell manipulating the defence, because Farrell runs a great line out the back of Jamie George, a little short ball. The Kiwi centre overreads.
Yeah, Lomapi overread. He bit
exactly,
way too hard.
Completely to smash Farrell. Front door pass, brilliant ball from Johnny straight through. And you don't stop Conor Murray from there. And that was essentially, I suppose, the accelerator in the game that gave the Lions confidence, because if the game went on, obviously they're at 14 men, but I think there was a big momentum shift mentally as well. I think that was a moment where I think the Lions are going to be full of confidence on Saturday, because they kind of have a little bit of a joker in the fact that the pressure is completely off. Mm. And now they can actually start finding a bit of rhythm, because this team has probably played 4 or 5 games together. Mm. And that's why, for me, it makes absolutely perfect sense to keep McAvoy and Paul in there, because he adds so much to the Lions team. He's not going to have as bad a day from a discipline point of view ever again in his career, I would think. But he offers an awful lot with the rugby ball, and you need carriers. I think your teammates look to fellas who can carry and actually come off either foot, get the hands free, and just give the backs front foot ball. But it was a big success. Sexton and Farrell, the two ball players in the midfield, but everything is related to Sonny Bill not being there, I presume.
Yeah, but they did start out well. It was a funny game, because the line started really well. Like I said, from the very first time they got the hands on the ball, there was a lot of little loops.
Carry early as well.
Yeah, but you also saw Farrell and Sexton interchanging. Mm. So sometimes it was Farrell and it was Sexton out the back. But then suddenly the game changes completely at 25 minutes, and it's actually the All Blacks play a good 40 minutes then. Yeah. Until Mako's yellow card, and then the Lions come back into it. It's really strange to watch it back.
Be interesting thing with Bossy things, but like, I think at 18-9 New Zealand thought they have this in the bag. It's done. It's another day for them.
That first try changed everything, because it had been the end of about 15 minutes. The Lions
experienced
could see the
players like that. You know what I mean? You look at their units between Sean O'Brien, Alwyn Jones. You've Jamie George, I'd say, who's a good guy to play with. 9, 10, 12, 13 are hugely experienced players. I don't think they will ever drop their heads. And that's why I don't think it'll be a wide margin this weekend either way. I think it'll be a one-score game. I just think the way teams play, the way the Lions are set up defensively, I don't think it's capable. Especially with the greasy ball of them getting ripped up. I just think they have an awful lot of character in their team, among the players, among their staff. The fact that I think they play for each other, which in sport is a great asset.
That defence was particularly impressive at a couple of key points. At the end of the game, after the Lions knock over that penalty, there's a long, long period of All Blacks possession, and you see incredible discipline across the field.
They were getting skittled back, weren't they? And Savea made the big carry, and then they had to step up again, didn't they, and kind of push them back. It was good to, and as you said, Andy, it was like 3 minutes solid of All Blacks pressure that they didn't get penalties.
They soaked it up.
I agree with that. But I felt, Boss, I'd be interested in your opinion here, and the fact that it was 3 minutes of All Black pressure, but it was completely disorganised, which would be contrary to how the All Blacks attack. Their shape for me seemed to be lost. It was kind of makey up rugby, which the ABs never do. They always have unbelievable pods with capabilities of playing out the back or playing in the front. We didn't see Rotalic carry anywhere near like we did in the first test. Same with Whitelock, and I think obviously they were probably shattered with the extra workload they had to do for making up with Sonny Bill.
Yeah, and I think, like, we talk about it, and we talk about trying to beat a team with 14 men. The longer it goes on and you don't score, then it becomes shit, we should be beating them, and we're not, you know. And I think got an element of that in the match. Even the commentators, everyone's saying, if we can't beat them with 14, you know, we can't beat them at all. And I think the instigating point was when Vunipola got sin-binned, it spurred the guys into action, and that's when the game changes, you know. Then they're like, we've got to play here. And that's when they threw their hand around, and they actually, you know, come out with a few points. All of a sudden, you add into that, and we talk about it. I think Rog hit the nail on the head. It wasn't organised, and that's because you had the likes of Cruden there, like you mentioned before, and you had Perenara there, and it was around a crucial patch around the midfield where they went sort of one side, they went to the other side, they were going back, and they kept trying to play, and they were getting forced back to their own 10, and then they end up turning over the ball and giving away a penalty, you know. So I don't think they had it there to close out, and they couldn't close it out because they didn't know how to in terms of that situation. So I do think they'll try and play a lot more this weekend, and I know we say that they couldn't convert that into pressure, the conditions, the 14 men, like they could barely get a couple of phases wide, you know, with that sort of rushing defence. It'll be a lot harder to do that if the weather's a bit dry this week. So again, it'll be interesting to see what happens, because I think the All Blacks will try and play a lot more and tire the Lions out like they did in the first test, because you look at the first test, the Lions looked out on their feet by half time. So I think that's the difference the two different styles of play and if the All Blacks are allowed to play that or not.
Fez, this, I mean, this was a, there's a lot of this which I think people will put down to Andy Farrell to look at this, the defensive work, and holding the All Blacks trialless at home for the first time in 15 years. I mean, that's unreal. The All Blacks carried the ball, I think, three times into the opposition 22 in the whole game. What do you see when you look at this Lions defence? Do you see echoes of the Irish team, or is there something else going on?
They just work hard for one another. They've obviously got a little good relationships with one another over the last few weeks. It's the same team that's played for, the last four or five games. And they're just working hard and getting off the line and closing all the space on the outside. And we've seen in the first test the space was on the inside and just to drop off balls on the inside. But like I was really unimpressed with the All Blacks at the weekend, you know, the way they handled the game. They didn't play well at all. For one thing for me, which played into the Lions' hand, was that the game was really slow. And the ball wasn't in play for that long because the referee kept blowing for penalties, kept blowing for TMO decisions. You know, the All Blacks kind of want tempo to the game. And even watching the first test, what do you call the hooker? Is it Crotty? No, what do you call the All Blacks hooker?
Taylor.
Scored in the corner.
Cody Taylor.
Yeah, Cody Taylor, sorry. Like, he was sprinting to the lineouts, getting the ball. And as soon as he got there, they were trying to get it in, get it away, just to keep the tempo high in the game. And at the weekend there, the weather was so bad. Like, it was ridiculously bad. And the All Blacks just seemed to not cope with the conditions, with the referee, with the pace of the game. You know, the Lions were dictating more or less the last 25 minutes, half an hour of that match, and just played into their hands. So I think we'll talk about that this week, and trying to get the Lions boys to make more tackles and hold onto the ball, and you know, go through multi-phase and try and make those half line breaks that you can get in behind them, because they just didn't do that and they kicked in. And for me, I thought, you know, the Lions hung in there, and everybody was saying, oh, they didn't deserve the win. Sure, you know, Bowden Barrett missed 9 points, you know, three kicks a goal and everything else. But I thought they actually played with more endeavour and played a bit more of the rugby than the All Blacks did. And I think very rarely you say that about a team when they're playing against the AB. So for me, it's more of the same this weekend and try and dictate the pace of the game and play it at your pace. Well, you know, the All Blacks don't very rarely lose at home. So are they going to lose two on the bounce at home? I don't think so. I just think that they're going to sneak it. Again, be 7 to 10 points for me is for an All Black win. But never say never. Gatland, everybody says, is Gatland a good coach or is Gatland the lucky coach? It'd be interesting to see come Saturday.
So what about the approach since last Saturday? So we mentioned earlier on the change in pressure now. There has to be pressure off the Lions, and it's all on the All Blacks. And the All Blacks have been in camp in Auckland, and we've seen lots of lovely shots, the Lions, you know, off in theme parks and water parks and whatever in Queenstown. What would you prefer to be doing as a player, Roger?
Queenstown in the middle of winter?
Fair point.
The thing has been hitting freezing conditions down there as well. So it's an interesting one, actually, from my point of view. I thought it's interesting going to Queenstown at the last week when you're playing the opposite end of the country, you know. Yeah. It's not like it was in spring or autumn when you can get out a wee bit. It's pretty damn cold down there at the minute, you know. Yeah. Quite a dry patch as well. So I think something like -8 or something.
The boys are all sitting around the blankets on them outdoors and stuff. I remember.
And you know, I know New Zealand well. Auckland's a hell of a lot warmer than it is down in Queenstown. So add to that extra bit of travel, but it gets them out of the fishbowl to an extent.
I tell you, thing they do well in Queenstown, one of the better things to come out of New Zealand, is the Ferg Burger.
This is dead right, isn't it?
So I reckon you're going to have a lot of Lions forwards hitting that place for as long as they can. It's an exceptional burger.
Share with the class, what is it?
It's just a special burger. I always give the Kiwis that come over here. I struggle with New Zealand, obviously, because I've gone down there every June. It gets dark at 4 o'clock. I usually end up getting smashed in terms of having poor performances. It's been incredibly difficult. So my fondness for the place is very blurred, very, very blurred.
You must go some summer, like you're always going in the winter and just getting battered around the place.
Yeah, and we had so many chances too to beat them and never got over the line, which always hurts incredibly. But I have a great memory of delicious burgers in Queenstown. It's important when you're away from home and you're touring, as bossy, these little things, if you get the old tap on the door at kind of 10 o'clock, fancy an old fire burger.
After dessert trips down there, and they're very good. Actually, hooked us up with a lot of free food burgers when we're down there for the World Cup. Actually, every Irish person I speak to, they know it full well. You know, it's world famous in Ireland as well, I think.
But irrespective of whether it was 2-0, they were going down there this weekend anyway.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Like all these things are whatever a commercial juggernaut. So they were going there, and the reality of test weeks, guys, is you have very limited training windows. You got to recover and just get a mental game plan.
It just sounds like there was one training session, doesn't it? They just did something on the Wednesday, like, and it was even light enough. I think today might be the only big thing they do, and then. It was funny to kind of see it, and to see it being reported on, and some of the lads having beers and stuff like that. Like, what's the harm, really? I'm sure they didn't tear the arse out of it.
To be honest, it's probably a good way, like I said, to relax and get away from most of the other supporters that are in Auckland. And the work's been done now. You're not going to do anything physically besides recover, and it's probably more organisational in this last week of the season, really, isn't it?
You know,
so
last week of school.
It's not a bad one. And to be honest, they've probably been able to share those. Like, it would have been a good moment in Wellington winning, but then, you know, there's 35,000 other supporters there, you know, that you're there. So, you know, you can have a bit of a squad moment down in Queenstown, which is good.
We're going to get to two more things here. Firstly, we do need to talk about the 23. Is the unchanged 23 the right call or the wrong call? Round the table real quick, Bossy.
I think it's the right call.
Rog?
The right call.
Pat?
I would have brought Jack McGrath in.
To start instead of Mako?
Yeah, yeah.
And is that, oh, beautiful, that's a lovely segue. I was going to talk about discipline, yeah. But no, seriously, is that a discipline question, or is that, do you think that McGrath or something that Mako doesn't?
He's had, like, Mako hasn't had two bad games in a row. Like, every other line has had a decent performance, but he's had two bad games in a row, and he just gave away a load of stupid penalties as well. And I think McGrath is a kind of slightly stronger scrummager, and then what Vunipola supposed to be bringing to the game is these strong carries, but I haven't seen it in the two tests, so I'd make it that as the change, and then you can spring this guy off the bench 20 minutes ago.
So we had Jerome Garces reffed, I think, pretty well in the last test, got the Sonny Bill decision right. We all agreed on that? I'm getting a shrug. Hold on, getting a shrug.
I was probably a bit, maybe a few people, but At first off, I thought maybe a definitely yellow card, and I thought maybe the red was a bit harsh looking. It's been dealt with, and he's got his 4 weeks, so it obviously was warranted, you know. But my only thing was, I don't think he probably intentionally used his shoulder, but there's a dip in head, you know. If it was a shoulder charge on the body, that's a bit different. And my only one to relate it to is maybe if you look at Vunipola, he's also gone at you know, towards the head area of Barrett with that, so. You know, if one's a red, why is not the other
red?
So.
Even if you took out that comparison, given Sean O'Brien's sighting, you would have thought that Mako would be lucky not to get cited for that.
Yeah, and that's you know, probably because it was dealt with on the pitch.
Yeah.
And Shawnee's, maybe it's, you know, but at the time, you know, because he does get knocked out, and it's probably maybe worth a little bit of look, but that's, I think that's the right call there. It's nothing intentional, it's just an accident, you know. And that's what happens in rugby.
Rod, you didn't look convinced now.
Yeah, I kind of share a lot of sentiments Bossy talks about. I think it was a clumsy challenge, but everything looks so much worse when you can pause it and slow it down in slow motion, but sport isn't played in slow motion. These are all spontaneous decisions that happen. I don't see where he comes in with a swinging arm. I just feel that there was a dip out of Watson, and I don't think Sonny Bill had anywhere to go. So I can completely understand it coming from a red card. At first, my gut reaction was he's in trouble here, penalty, yellow card, and then I just felt that a red card is very severe, but that's the way they're the rules. You got anything around the head now is red.
Yeah, I do think now, so we know technically why it was given, so you've got, there's no arms, no attempt to wrap, and it hits the head, so all those things add up to a red, right? But the point you make about the slow motion is really important. And some referees have got much better at saying, will you play that full speed, please? Because everything looks deliberate in slow-mo.
Absolutely.
Everything. Yeah. And if you're going to make a decision about that, you need to see it at the same pace that the players were looking at the time.
Yeah, and I think, I don't know, Sonny Bill, his entry into the tackle was incorrect, but I don't know, was he looking to make a tackle?
Well, he was looking to make a hit.
Looking to make a hit, and he wasn't looking to get out of the way.
He certainly wasn't getting out of the way.
He certainly doesn't have to open the door for him, though.
No. But he was already being, you see, Watson was already being held. That's the other side of this.
Yeah, so well, that's
it isn't
true.
As if Watson goes
no,
in.
No, I know, but you know. Like you, yeah, go back 2 years ago and you'd have 10 of them a game.
Yeah. Mm. Well, that's,
you can say that about anything.
Yeah, they're trying to get rid of those. But the discipline thing on the whole, I mean, we did see there was a lot of penalties for the Lions, especially in that stretch after half time. You know, Garza's talking to Sam Walker.
Oh, well, he completely set out his stall in terms of he wasn't allowing any contest at the breakdown and it was actually probably a bit disappointing, I would say, if you're part of a coaching setup in terms of how players reacted to that.
Yeah.
Because he was absolutely clinical in terms of how he was refereeing it.
Yeah.
It was like, there's no poaching going on here unless you've full rights to the ball and unless you're the, you know what I mean, assistant tackler. But like, there was absolutely no windows allowed.
Would you see a difference in that this weekend with Poit?
I think, to be fair to the French referees, I think they've gone down there, they've spent time down there, I think they've embraced the tour, I think they, Gar says, you have to be happy with how he refereed the game. I think there's a big responsibility on him. I wouldn't have been full of confidence before the game, but I thought the capacity to back himself, especially when he came under pressure from his own assistant ref, maybe.
Yeah, he wasn't helped there now.
Exactly, which would make you question yourself, but he had the authority and the conviction to follow through with his red because that was his, I think, gut instinct. And I thought he's done very well, and I think Poit will be more of the same because Poit will have no problem with the away team winning, and that's all you can ask for in sport. There's a lot of teams, as we've seen in the 2011 World Cup final, where the home team has to win. Bossy and people, that's a controversial statement, but I think Poit has gone to Thomond Park and Ulster have beaten us in a European quarter-final the first time ever, and by God did he get it from the crowd that day.
Yeah.
But he kept at it.
Yeah.
And I think that's important, that the 30 going at it know exactly how the referee is going to referee this game. And there's nothing worse from a player's point of view in a big game having such an important figure, having such authority that could actually play games with your own head.
Just before we move off the referee subject, the final decision in terms of the final penalty that ended up being crucial, probably shouldn't have been, but the Sinclair decision. Bossy, we had a quick chat off air there.
Yeah, it's a very controversial one in my book, and probably maybe it's been underestimated a bit in the context of the game, but the fact that, you know, he receives a bad pass, jumps in the air to get it when someone's committed to tackling him and he's done for tackling in the air, it's you know, you can say by the letter of the law it's correct, but the other side of it is you're not allowed to jump into the tackle either, you know what I mean? So I think he reacted reasonably quickly on that one, on his gut instinct and the way he fell, whereas, you know, I really, to be honest, I think it should have been play on because it could have gone either way. It was a bit of a real technical type of thing, or, you know, is he technically correct or technically wrong?
It is, because the law just simply says in the air.
Yeah.
Like, I remember being at the RDS once and there was a high ball came down, Rob Kearney saw the player coming and he just jumped a foot in the air just before the guy was ready to hit him and he got the penalty.
Yeah, but I think that's really smart with the Cairns. That's a different context. That's a kick. This is a pass, and I agree with Bossy. I think there would be a stage in the past where the penalty would have gone to New Zealand.
Yeah, because it would look like Sinclair had jumped into the...
And also, it's not far off diving in soccer, if you want to look upon it like that, you know what I mean? He has every right to go for that ball, but what is Firmino meant to do? Open the door for him to let him give him another 10 yards.
The chat with Firmino afterwards is really interesting, because Firmino is going to Garces. Garces already knows what's going to happen here, because he's seen it, he knows what the player's going to say, and Firmino is still going, what am I meant to do? I didn't know he was going to jump. Because he'd lined him up. He was already going to take him in. It happens, bang, bang. But right after that, to go right back, last word in discipline, Pat, Sinclair, I think, is due something stupid in the third test, because he went wild after that at the wrong player.
Yeah, and it was funny to see I actually think Wales Online did a story when the game finished that two Conor Murray and one of the Welsh lads immediately hauled him back.
It was four players. So I was watching against like four Lions hauled him back.
So they're on the lookout for this guy. They know Sinclair's this loose cannon. This guy can do anything. He came on to the pitch charged up. He was talking shit from when he came on, getting in Perenara's face from when he came on as well, and. The minute he could have reversed that penalty if he'd have went.
He went charging after Scott Barrett, who was 5 yards away. The New Zealand commentators picked it up instantly and were going, "Oh, yeah, they saved their team here by pulling Sinclair back."
What happened was is that he refused to be clapped in by the New Zealanders.
That's what they're saying afterwards. Yeah.
No, you can see it. There's video footage of it, and Owen Farrell has gone out to get him.
Yeah,
it's
Farrell
senior player
wasn't happy at all,
to bring, because that's the beauty about rugby.
Yeah. Final
whistle goes, no matter how ratty we've all been in our careers, you walk through and you shake hands.
Yeah.
That's good. The bottom line.
It's good to see that self-policing though by people like Farrell.
It's fantastic, but it's normal to in rugby.
Yeah.
But especially, I don't know what age he is, but that's something you got to learn very quickly because it's a big error on a big stage.
And finally, after the game, the interviews. The Sky Hype Fest in full effect. Seanie O'Brien, immortality beckons. Like, what, Bossy, when you're watching that, what do you think about it? Does it make you warm to the Lions, and or does it make you feel something else?
Well, I don't know what, I didn't exactly see Seanie's part, but look, I just got to be a little bit careful, you know what I mean? Boys, I know this, I got sick listening to the Sky guys because I thought they were setting them up a wee bit, you know, you can be gracious and defeat and gracious and you know, and winning, and you know, we leveled the series. I think you probably give them more ammunition than anything, you know. It was almost like a false sense of confidence to an extent.
It was I thought it was such a missed opportunity by Seanie. I'd say because he was so fatigued, but like normally he'd bury him. Yeah. Like it was such a chance for him to go viral there in terms
there was,
of
there
just,
was a bit of a look though, wasn't there? You
there
could
was,
see it in
exactly
the eyes.
But like I think Seanie, he's an unbelievable good crack character, very witty.
Yeah.
Like it would have been his style there to just come up with an absolute cracker of a comment to kind of
cut him off at the knees.
I'm already a superstar in Carlisle, not too bad anyway, lads. You know, as in that's Seanie, you know, and that's why people play for him. But I think he has that aura about him now where you just need him in your team, and it's taken people a long time. I think Irish people have always felt that way, but it was interesting to see Jenks and Bobby and these guys on the Lions management team, I suppose, just speak glowingly about Seanie, because not alone is he, I think, a fantastic rugby player, but he just adds value to the dressing room. Adds value to the dressing room, and he's not going to be afraid of going anywhere. He'll be so excited going into Eden Park at the weekend, you know. I just think that's exactly why he plays, because this is what people ask, what's a big game player? Seanie O'Brien is a big game player. Like not so long ago, I can remember meeting him and it could have been career over. He wasn't too sure whether the hamstring would get through it, and he was very, very nervous, and yet he went away and he worked his socks off. And I think that's a great reward for a guy that kind of has all those mental demons and now could come back and gets his massive moment. But I just wish after the game we saw the real Seanie O'Brien, because he just kept it. He wanted to say something, but he just felt...
all of us wanted him to say something.
Yeah.
All of us. Right, listen, while you're on that roll, predictions. Who's going to win Saturday?
Lions. Couldn't look at anybody in the eyes there.
No,
and say,
you didn't.
No, I'm much more confident about this, and I'll probably massively regret it. And Ronan's frowning at me here, but I'm going to go with the Lions.
I completely see where you're coming from. I just think you cannot, in a tight game, I think, which it will be, I think you cannot underappreciate the collective force of experienced players. I think there's no Nanu, there's no Mielamu, there's no
Conrad Smith,
there's no Conrad Smith, there's no Ben Smith, there's no Crotty, there's no Sonny Bill Williams. Like the Lions are playing against a lot of rookies, as Bossy has talked about. You've 12 and 13 who have
rookies and rookies combinations.
Correct, but also the fact that when you play your first 10 caps for your country, you have very little recollection of how they go, because your head is in a different space completely. And then kind of caps 10 to 30 you get a little bit comfortable, but these guys are obviously they can do exceptional things with the rugby ball, and Bossy has alluded to that in terms of the two Barretts, Sevilla, we've seen the carrying capacity of the two centres, but they'll obviously resort to what works, and we all know where rugby games are won up front, and that's what's been the difference, I think, the ball playing capacities and work rate of the New Zealanders. But I think the Lions have a crack off this and a shot off this that they will not ever forget in their lives, and I think it's going to be an absolute cracker.
Are you convincing yourself to call it for the Lions?
No, because I've said all along, I can't be a walking contradiction. I said to me that the skill levels of the All Blacks were better than the skill levels of European players. I still believe that, but let's see what pressure does. But I'm going to say All Blacks.
Bossy?
To be honest, it's a tough one to call, but I think I'm going to say the All Blacks as well, and purely because I know we say that they'll be dented and all that, but I still think they can take a bit of confidence out of that match in the weekend that they almost did it with 14 men. Mm-hmm. So although we think that quietly and tight, they'll probably be saying, look, you know, that is what it is, we lost 14 men, we almost won it, let's go next weekend. So I think it'll be close, but I think they'll do it. A crowd won't be majority Lions fans at Eden Park. It was 20,000 of 30,000 people at the Caketon in Wellington last week, so it was like a home ground for them, and I think it should be better weather conditions, and I think they might just edge it on those factors.
Right, we'll leave it there with Pat saying his rosaries for a Lions win. We'll see. Back yourself, Pat.
Regret it after 15 minutes, I'd say, on Saturday.
We'll be back. Thanks very much to Stephen Ferris for taking the call. We'll be back with Ladbrokes' Hayley O'Connor.
The message to the players before we left the UK and Ireland was that to come out to New Zealand to play the All Blacks, you have to take risks.
I was surprised a little bit at Steve Hansen in terms of, normally he's pretty calm. You know, it's unlike Steve, maybe he's a little bit worried about potentially how good this team could be. To play the All Blacks and beat the All Blacks has got to be another step up.
We know we've got to be courageous coming here, we know we've got to be bold, and we've got to go and play some positive rugby.
We're here to win a Test Series.
We're back on The Hard Yards. Thanks for listening to the podcast today. If you're listening for the first time, subscribe to it on iTunes, Podcast Republic, SoundCloud, and every good podcast app to get it straight to your phone. We are joined by Hayley O'Connor from Ladbrokes on the phone. We have lots to get through. Hello, Hayley.
Hi, how's it going?
It's going well. And now that we have both selections in for the final Lions test, what do Ladbrokes have? What do you see as the favourites here?
Well, the New Zealand are 4-1 on favourites, but we're actually really looking to lay them. They were 9-2 on with this earlier, but we had to push them out because we really don't want to take on the Lions, and we'll be as short a price as we can get away with because we lost gazunts amounts of money last week. It turned out to be like a quarter of a million loser for us. So we'll be avoiding them at all costs. The handicap had opened up at -9 and with some firms to between that and -13. It's kind of levelled off at -12. But I think because we want to duck the Lions, we'll probably be New Zealand -12, 11-10, but the Lions 7-2, 10-11. +12. I know that's a bit confusing, but we'll be siding a little bit in the handicap with New Zealand because we just can't take the hammering that we took last week.
Yeah, we're a little slow here in the studio. The lads have their head down here, yeah. But have you got a couple of... there's some interesting new names in there. Jordy Barrett, we talked a good few weeks ago. I remember you heard about on him appearing in the series. He's here. The Wonder Kid has been named.
Yeah, he's here. Yeah, so Jordy Barrett, he starts at fullback, and his older brothers Bowden and Scott there on fly half and on the bench. So Jordy Barrett to score at any time is 6-4, and to be first try scorer is 11-1. But definitely an interesting kind of byline to an intriguing contest. Anyway, for the Old Faithfuls, then Sean O'Brien is 28 to be first try scorer. Johnny Sexton 40-1, Elliot Daly 18-1, and if you want to go into the anytime tied for a long 10-1, Jamie George 4-1, Sean O'Brien 8-1. But the Market, I'm looking at this myself because I was hoping to make a bit of cash, and I was thinking, you know, why would you? It looks like it's going to be raining again, so that's why we don't think the handicap is going to be pushed out too much more than it already is. So if you want to back the Lions, I think backing them to win by between 1 and 10 at 11 to 1 makes more sense than backing them at 7-2.
The sound of.
Yeah, like they're not going to win by... yeah. Well, yeah, that makes sense to me. Yeah, like so like if they win, they're not going to blow the All Blacks away. Like so.
It's a nice little comfort either way. So if the Lions do win
yeah.
by more than that, you're really happy anyway. Everyone's away.
Yeah. And if you think it's going to be a similar match to last week, because we didn't start really getting going until the final quarter, you could back New Zealand to be leading at half time and the Lions to win the match, and that's 11-1.
Okay.
So
my nerves could take that.
You get a little bit creative.
Yeah. Pat's already he needs a couple of settlers, I think, already. It's a bit of way out to the game. We'll wrap it there. Looking forward now to the end of a long season with the third Lions test on Saturday. So enjoy it wherever you're watching. Thanks to Rog, to Isaac DeFez and Hayley O'Connor. Thanks to Joe Harrington for producing. Thanks to Pat. And thanks to Paul Donegan, who was on sound. We'll be back next week with a new podcast. Subscribe to it on iTunes, Podcast Republic, SoundCloud, and every good podcast app to get it straight to your phone. Thanks for listening. This has been The Hard Yards. I'm Mandy McGeady. We'll talk to you next week.
The Hard Yards, brought to you by Ladbrokes. Passionate about sport.